This is our second program on the Caribou Conference that was held December 4th at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks. I'm Mo Osley, and welcome to Potlatch. Bob Hinman of the Department of Fish and Game spoke about factors in the decline of the Arctic herd. He also revealed the high cost of caribou census taking.
We didn't develop until about the late 60s the present method of caribou census, which we call the aerial photo extrapolation census technique. And when we developed this in the late 60s and applied it to the Western Arctic in 1970, it was felt that, first of all, it would be adequate to do this on a cycle of every 3 to 4 years, because things would not change that rapidly. Secondly, it was absolutely necessary financially that it be done so, because of the extremely high cost of conducting such an operation. I would guess offhand, without having any figures right with me, that you're talking in terms of somewhere in the vicinity of $70,000 to do a complete photo census of the Western Arctic caribou herd. And considering that we have another 12 or thereabouts herds in the state, which we also have to consider, our state agency at any rate does not have the funds to, obviously, to do this type of thing every year. It may well be that the decline of the herd began or was caused to some degree by natural factors relating to overabundance. It's also undeniably true that the degree to which it declined and the rapidity to which it declined was accelerated by other factors, and those are the factors that we have been attempting to put controls on in order to restore the herd. In this case, I am talking about the harvest by man and the harvest by chief predator. This decline had the benefit of vastly improved human technology with the capability of accelerating that decline where those in the past have not. One basic error in judgment that the department made following the 1970 census was the assumption that because of the rapid, at that time, change in village life from dog team transportation to snow machine transportation, and the resultant lack or lessening of need for the acquisition of caribou to feed dogs, we felt that the harvest by the local people would decline. Unfortunately, it did not. Basically, I am still optimistic about the chances of restoration of the Western Arctic caribou herd. The factors that make it possible for the herd to increase are there. I believe that curtailment of hunting by man and predation can accomplish this, providing the land resource is not damaged or destroyed in the interim or altered. In other words, the land is used wisely, and that we still maintain then the potential for having caribou over a long period of time.
That was Bob Hinman. Dr. David Klein of the Wildlife Research Unit here at the university talked about atmospheric pollution and its effect on lichen, the caribou's main food.
In the Soviet Union, for example, the fallout of sulfur dioxide from industrialization in the Taimyr region, which I visited last year, has had a significant effect on the lichen growth there. It's well known that sulfur dioxide will cause the death of lichens if they're in a close proximity to the source of pollution, and the lichens will suffer reduced growth under less intensive fallout. And there's very little known as to what the effect of small levels of fallout may be We do know that in circumpolar regions, not just around industrial centers, the level of fallout of sulfur dioxide and other atmospheric waste products from industrialization have increased. And we know that there are effects on soil chemistry, for example, of other chemical waste such as nitrogenous products. There is a great need for research into this particular problem. There has been relatively little done, virtually none in Alaska. It's just getting started, and it's a primary area of concern which could have tremendous impact on the well-being of caribou and reindeer in the future of Alaska.
Jimmy Spheres. Edward Hobson, a native from Barrow, described the grazing area of caribou and the regeneration of lichen. He thinks that the decline of the Western Arctic caribou herd is a mystery.
I think the depletion in the population is a mystery. You see, when I was growing up, there was not a single caribou in Barrow area, not a single one. You have to go about 150, 200 miles to see a caribou. You are lucky to find a herd of maybe seven. Now, in the past few years, our area has been overpopulated with caribou. I do not have the figures on what it'll take for overpopulated caribou to eat up the grazing area. But I do know the fact that it will take 7 years for that to develop again into its existing grazing material in the tundra. The One thing that I like to bring out in support of Willis' statement is to, I think our people, our native people, should be considered very seriously.
Speaking about the need of caribou by the natives, Jerry Gustafson has firsthand experience in the village and the cost of living there.
If you were to move into one of the villages, I think that you would find very rapidly that there is this matter of need of the meat and this sort of thing becomes foremost in your mind. I think by living there, I found that on a teacher's salary, I guess I was getting somewhere around $20,000 a year, and I had a team of dogs, and I was buying fuel oil there at village prices and paying rent, which wasn't very much, and having a lot of the dog food shipped in, buying groceries and this sort of thing. And I find that I had a very difficult time to make ends meet on $20,000 a year. Now, I'm sure that income was far and above what most of the people in the village had. And I think there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, people had some kind of income there, welfare, part-time jobs and whatever, other than caribou. But there was, in my mind, no doubt that the people that were shooting the caribou were needing, that people there needed the caribou to exist. And I think by the, if anyone from Fairbanks could afford to fly up to the Kobuk area, shoot a caribou and bring it back, just because they could afford the plane ticket up there and the freight back, they didn't need the caribou, in my opinion, as far as a subsistence type of thing is concerned. However, and at the same time, I think there's no doubt in my mind that there was quite a bit of waste of the caribou that did occur when the herds came near the villages in the Kobuk area. I'm speaking for the area in the lower Kobuk, Narvik, Kayana, and Selawik, which I know of firsthand, and the upper Kobuk villages I heard about. But I think that this, again, is partially the problem of fish and game, because when I first came up there, everyone told me, well, fish and game has said that this herd is on the increase and that it needs to be trimmed down, that it's good for it if we shoot some of these caribou. And this is what everyone was under the impression that was fish and game's attitude toward this herd. And I, as soon as the people found out what the story was in terms of the caribou counts, Robert Newland went on the radio there and sent, and there was a regular thing broadcast several times a day about the status of the caribou herd. Immediately people began to act in accordance with the facts. But I think that fish and game was, or somebody, you know, had been saying the wrong thing about this herd, and that the people up there are reasonable people, and that they're simply acting in accordance with their needs. And the wastage factor, I think, was, you know, partially the people's fault there, but partially due to the fact that fish and game had given out the wrong information, or hadn't given out any information, or someone at any rate had given out the wrong information. I myself really enjoy seeing caribou, eating caribou, and I use to a certain extent some caribou for clothing, mittens and my foot gear and this sort of thing. And I resent the fact that as a white man who doesn't agree with going out and being able to fly into a place and hunt, you know, spend a lot of money for doing it, I can't hunt caribou in this state anymore, because there isn't any place where I can take a dog team, let's say, and go in and hunt them, or walk in very easily. Anytime, if I wanted to hunt caribou right now, I'd have to go on a fly-in hunt, which would make it, you know, really essentially a sport-type hunt that is economically nonsensical in terms of any sort of a subsistence type of thing. And I resent this, and I blame fish and game for this, because if we look at the situation, the Nelchina caribou herd, the 40-mile caribou herd, the Delta caribou herd, and now the Western Arctic caribou herd have all been hunted, as I see it, pretty much into a situation where they can no longer tolerate any hunting. And I believe that maybe this meeting shouldn't be here, we shouldn't be here discussing what we're going to do about the Western Arctic caribou herd. Maybe we should be discussing what we're going to do with the porcupine herd, because I'll bet you in 5 or 6 years we're going to be here talking about what happened to the porcupine herd. It's all gone. I'm on the
again. It's been a long time since I've seen my girl Chelsea. Drop the line, say hello every day. I told her I'm searching and I won't be coming home. I guess I'm on the road again.
Dougherty. Arnold Brower of Barrow stresses how important it is to get an accurate count of the caribou population and explains when would be a good time to do it.
I noticed all along when the survey was taken on the caribou, and I thought it was on the wrong time of the season. I think it should be taken during the time when the caribou is in great concentration. See, there's certain times of the year that the caribous are very much concerned about each other and group together and get in order to fight amongst themselves for their harem. And once that started, you'll notice that the caribou concentrate in large groups. And that goes on until about in January. And they started to scattered back out again. I think what I'm trying to get at is we should get the right figure, come up with the right count. Not to say I think this is the number, and probably the second survey would come out with a specific count which would put us in an area where we would be very much concerned then if that number and accurate count is in the neighborhood of 55 or 75,000 count. I'm very much for the conservation part of the herd, to conserve the herd into an area where we stay that number. But unless we come up with the right figure, We can't do that.
Another person who has lived with the natives in Bush, Alaska, Ray Bain, testified on the decline of the caribou.
I have hunted caribou on a subsistence basis. I have also harvested, when there was an unlimited number of caribou to be harvested, up to 60 caribou per year for myself. That was my largest take. I was feeding dogs caribou meat at one time because it was thought to be an acceptable use of those animals. I presently harvest zero because on the Koyokuk River we have no permits offered to us. I think that once the knowledge became widespread that the caribou herd was declining, was in serious condition, that the native people that I had a chance to deal with responded to that and followed the law reasonably well. I have just recently had a chance to go to Anaktuvik Pass. I've worked with the people up there a fair amount. They were allotted 10 caribou per family, and I saw the process in operation, and I thought their response to that process was admirable, that they are following it. When there's a family of old people who cannot go out and hunt, a young person will go out and hunt for them, bring the caribou back, take the tags, fill out the whole thing, and it's very complicated for them. This is an entire process that is completely foreign to them, and at least my observation, and I may be corrected, was that the native people in Anaktuvik, and I think in other areas, are following this pretty well, as much, I would say in many cases, much better than what you would expect here in Fairbanks.
Took me years get those souvenirs, and I don't know how it slipped away from me.
John Prine, the future of four caribou in Alaska looks pretty grim. And what about the reindeer? I did an interview with Glenn Fredericks of Sleepmute, a native who's been attempting to set up a reindeer herd in the Aniak area. He tells why he hasn't succeeded so far.
Because of Nana Corporation, got the reindeer up north that we were trying to get. And I've been talking with Mr. Three Stars and trying to get some deer that's at Burgermeister Island. They have a couple hundred, I guess, out there. And we're still like to get some of them deer because that would kind of help the moose population. You know, when we have in our area the liking that the caribou eats in the wintertime, just acres and acres and acres of it, you know. It could support 10,000 deer, you know. But right now it's in a stalemate because of not enough deer, I guess, to give to everybody.
If I need
Listening to Melanie. I'm Mo Osley, and thank you for listening. If you have any comments for us, please write to Potlatch, care of KUAC, University of Alaska, Fairbanks, 99701.
Potlatch is produced by KUAC under Title I of the Higher Education Act.